We'll not have a better friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a friend that we have in Him. And always there to encourage us and to help us and to give us answers to our questions and just in every walk of life, He's there as a dear friend. And that the Bible says sticketh closer than a brother. And family members are very close, and so the Lord is even closer than that. Tonight, if you would take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, and we'll be reading the 15th Psalm. It only has five verses, and we'll read these verses together. I have down here somebody preached a message from this Psalm sometime. I didn't date it, but I put down the title. It sounds like something Brother Sisson would preach. It says, How to Be King of the Hill. And talks about the holy hill of the Lord. And to do that, all the points are there. But tonight, I'm going to look at it a little bit differently than that. Wonderful thing about the Bible, you can look at it and read it. And every time you pick it up, you see something different. Every time you read it, it reveals to you a different path to take or different avenue to go down. And so the Word of God is that's why we call it a living Word. Because it is, it's not just stable in the fact that it only says one thing, but in that one thing it says, it gives us many, many areas of study. So tonight in Psalm number 15, we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. And so the Lord asks the question here, who's going to abide in the tabernacle of the Lord, or the dwelling place of the Lord? The word tabernacle means a dwelling place. And as they went through the wilderness out of Egyptian bondage to the promised land, they carried with them a tabernacle that God had given Moses and all those associated with him directions how to build that, how to make that. And as they traveled through the wilderness, they would set up the tabernacle, and there would be the place that the Lord would dwell with his people. So it's a dwelling place of the Old Testament. And who's going to abide there other than those folks that are described here in these next few verses? We know that David was a man after God's own heart. We find many things given to us in the Scripture about King David from his young boyhood until his death, and the things that transpired in his life. And the Lord said, he's a man after my heart, and he's a man that follows the direction of the Lord. Now, David was without he was not without sin. He was not a perfect man. He had his problems like all of us do. But the Lord, when he looked at David in his life, he said, he's a man that is after my heart, that desires the things that the Lord desired. But tonight I want us to look a little bit at David's heart, the heart of David and the desire that is there for David. And he gives us, I believe, a little bit of that here in these verses in Psalm number 15. Psalm number 14, Psalm number 15 are a great contrast. Psalm 14 starts out with the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Psalm 15 starts out with the people of God who's going to dwell in the tabernacle of the Lord. So in Psalm number 14 we find a polluted man, and in this psalm we find the perfect man, the man that's been redeemed, the man that desires the things of the Lord. In Psalm number 14, we have the sinner. In Psalm number 15, we have the Savior and the saint. And in Psalm number 14, we are brought before the court of God and we're found guilty. But thank God in chapter 15, we find the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God tonight for grace. We are recipients of his love and his care and his favor to us. And the grace of the Lord is that favor been shown to us that did not deserve it. We did not merit that. And many times we call it the unmerited favor of the Lord. We did not deserve it. And many times we did not desire it. We did not want it. But God loved us anyway and looked beyond our faults and it came to us and made us a people of God that dwell in the place of the Lord. God's people ought to be happy and enjoy the service of the Lord. They ought to be a holy people, and they certainly, we know that we're going to heaven. So there's three things there about the people of God. We're happy. We should be happy. And there's a lot of Christians maybe that are not happy as they should be, but when we dwell on the blessings of the Lord, when we dwell upon the good things that God gives us, that should make joy in our soul, joy in our heart, and we continually strive to be a holy people. The word holy there does not mean perfect. It means that we try to get in line with the Lord and try to follow God and try to be maybe as David and follow after the heart of God. And then, of course, one day we shall see him that has saved us and we are a people headed toward heaven. So David understood who God was. David understood the blessings of the Lord and he desired the greatness of, he desired the power of God in his life beyond even the temple and beyond even the power and the presence of the high priest that was before him. David understood there needed to be the presence of God personally in his life. He understood the joy of the Lord and dwelling in the place of God. He enjoyed the temple of God. He said it was good to go into the house of the Lord. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. And so David enjoyed the tabernacle or the house of God. There was no temple at this time for Solomon, his son, was to build the temple. And so all David understood, all David knew was this tabernacle or this dwelling place that was temporary. And David had a heart's desire to build a place for God that would be his place. And of course we know that the Lord did not and would not let him do that because David was a man of war, a man of blood, and he was a man that that was not permitted to build the house of God or the temple of God. But God permitted him to get everything ready for Solomon, his son, to build that. And the scriptures tell us so much about how David and his men went out and they cut the timbers. They went out and got all the trimmings for the temple. And really when it came time to build it, all they had to do was pretty much put it together. And so we have Solomon's temple. But David understood the high priest. David understood the tabernacle or the dwelling of the Lord. And he was willing to do those things that would be pleasing to the Lord. And so we find in verse number 1 that David had a constant worship in that tabernacle, in that dwelling place. The Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in the holy hill? And then he begins those two questions. He begins to answer that in verses 2 through 5. And he begins to give us who's going to dwell, who's going to have the ability to dwell in the holy hill, who's going to abide in the tabernacle or the presence of the Lord, the dwelling place of God. And he begins to show us individuals that would be able to do that. And I think here David is maybe even making reference of himself, of those things in his heart and his life that wanted him to be the one that dwelt safely in the place of the Lord. It starts out with a continual worship. It starts out with a constant worship in the house of God. Across our country today, there are multiples of people, hundreds of thousands probably of people that claim to be Christians, but they think very lowly of the house of God. They don't think too much about going to church. They don't think too much about coming together in the assembly, as the Lord tells us to. And so they are not, they may be Christian, but I believe a Christian ought to want to go to church. I believe a Christian ought to have that desire in their heart, because I believe the Lord puts it there that we want to be with God's people. I'd hate to think all I had to deal with and dwell with is just me, myself, and I. I'd hate to think that I was the only one that I was able to talk to the Lord or share things together. And so I'm glad that we can have a constant worship in the house of God. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That word assembly means coming together. It means a calling out, coming from one place to another to be together and to dwell in the things of the Lord. So David said, who's going to abide in the tabernacle? Who's going to worship? And he's dealing here with a constant worship. But in verse number 2, he begins to answer the question, and he tells us in verse 2 that there is a continual walk that we have. Every one of us tonight, as a believer, we have a continual walk. Every day of our life is a walk of faith of a child of God. And he talks about, in verse number 2, it says, he that walketh uprightly. So a person walking uprightly without blemish doesn't mean perfect. It means without blemish. It means to have integrity, to live for the Lord, to walk uprightly, to have things in our life that people would understand and know that we trust the Lord, we believe in God. Not only in God, but we trust Christ as our personal Savior, and we have an upright walk, and we have a walk that others would see Christ living in us. Not only a walk that is upright, but a work that is righteous, a righteous work. The things that we do in our lives, the things that we do with our hands, the things that we do with time that God gives us, is to have a walk and a work that would be pleasing to the Lord and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we dwell in the tabernacle of the Lord, as we dwell in the things of God, as we go to the place of worship, we find that this thing went off, Sharon. I don't know what happened. We find that the house of God is the place where we are to dwell together and turn this one up and ask God's blessings upon us. And so tonight we find here that if we dwell in the blessings of the Lord, if we dwell in the house of God, we'll have a upright walk, we'll have a righteous work, we'll do what is right naturally, we'll do what is right morally, we'll do the just things, the right things, that God can bless us because we are serving Him. And then he tells us here that we'll speak truth in his heart. So here's three things that is spoken of here. We have an upright walk, we have a righteous work, and we have a truth that comes out of our mouth. How important that is for the child of God to have we call it a testimony. What people feel in feel about us, what people see in us as we do our daily work and walk that God gives to us, whether it be out in our jobs, whether it be at home, whether it be on the street corner, whether it be out while we're shopping, while we're whatever it is, we ought to have an upright walk, ought to have righteousness about us in our works, and speak truth that is established, that is faithful, and that is right. Those are the folks that are going to dwell and abide in the tabernacle of the Lord. So we have a constant worship. We have a continual walk. And verse number 3 gives us about our talk. He says in verse 3, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil with his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. And so now verse number 3 talks about a controlled talk. The book of James tells us that the tongue is a small instrument of our body. Tells us a very small portion of our body. But it also, James also tells us that it can be an instrument used of the devil. It can be an instrument that is what James' words he uses is set on fire from hell. And so here David says that if we dwell in the constant service of the Lord, then we are not going to backbite with our tongue, and we're not going to do evil to our neighbor. And so we find that no backbiting, no tailbearing, no slander. Boy, we live in a society that's full of slander. We live in a society full of lies. I heard the other day somebody talking about lying. Said, "Well, it's a lie, but it got the end result what needed to be," and that's the attitude of the world. But there's no such thing as a little lie or a white lie. It's just a lie, and the Lord tells us that we have truth in our lives, and not to be a talebearer, not to be a slanderer, and not backbiting, going behind somebody's back talking about them. The Old Testament and New Testament both deals with that. And I've always thought if you had something to say about somebody, you ought not to be ashamed to say it to somebody, that same somebody. And so people that won't do that, you can be rest assured that they're not interested in necessarily truth. They're interested in maybe spreading those same backbiting. He tells us here in verse number 3 also, we're not to be backbiters, but we're not to talk evil concerning our neighbors, and no reproach. And two things here about the neighbor. Honoreth, it says here, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. So no backbiting, no talking evil, and no reproach. The word reproach means sorrowful. It has a lot of different ideas there. Or no shame or no rebuke. Ought not to have that in the walk of the child of God. Ought not to have that in the life of a believer, because our walk is to be upright. Our talk is to be straightforward and truthful. Our ways are to be according to righteousness. And so David is building, I think, his heart of someone that would dwell in the tabernacle, someone that would dwell in the holy hill of the Lord, would have to be someone. And I believe David's heart was that he wanted to worship the Lord. He wanted to walk for the Lord. He wanted to talk right for God. And I believe David desired that more than anything else in his life during this particular time. And chapter 14 tells us about the fool. But chapter 15 tells us about the righteous, tells us about the individual that is serving and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. So a constant worship. I believe a Christian ought to worship the Lord in season, out of season. The Bible tells us that we to preach the word in season, out of season. And I believe we ought to worship. Sometimes we don't feel like worshiping the Lord. Sometimes the struggles of life come upon us, and we'd lots rather, humanly speaking, and though human nature comes up, we'd lots rather complain to the Lord. We'd lots rather say what all is wrong with the things around us. But I believe we ought to worship the Lord in the good times and bad times, hard times, easy times, all times, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do that if our walk is right. We can do that if our talk is right, if our testimony is right. People will see us and will understand that we are trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse number 4 and 5, I believe we find his constrained heart. Here's David's heart. In verse number 4, he talks about the vile person. He is to be, we are to honor and not have vileness in our life. He says, but honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. We find that we to honor those that fear the Lord. The scriptures are full of honor. There are people that we are to honor. There are folks in our personal lives that we are to honor. We can honor them while they're living, And I'm glad we can even honor their memory and just to remember the good things they did for us and how that they how that they helped us in our personal life and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So honored and being to honored. Honor, David honored those that the Lord loved the Lord and those that served the Lord. And so there is a honoring heart. Then in verse number 5, he says, "He that putteth not out his money to usury." Financially, David used his money wisely. David had to be a very, very wealthy individual. Solomon was a very wealthy individual, and Solomon built probably the most expensive, elaborate building that's ever been built upon the face of the earth. And so if God honors us with blessings, we are to honor him with using it faithfully and correctly and wisely. A lot of Christians tonight, they work themselves to death, and they use their usury, they use their money very unwisely. Many of them never give a thought to the Lord. Many of them never give tithe unto God. And tithing is taught in the Scripture. It's taught in the Old Testament. It's expanded in the New Testament. And so it's honoring to the Lord if we use our financial means that God gives to us for the glory of the Lord. We can spend it here and we can have elaborate things and good things. But when we leave here, we leave that all behind. When we leave this world, it's all for somebody else. Somebody else to take over. Somebody else to redo. Somebody else that'll do things totally different to what we did. And so we leave all that behind. But what we do for the Lord, thank God we put it in a treasure house. The Lord tells us that we are to put things in heaven where moths do not destroy. Thieves do not come through and steal. Every one of us tonight will lock our doors. Probably all most of you have your car door locked outside because of the fear of somebody doing something that would be harmful or hurtful to your property. You'll go home tonight, you'll lock your door, and you do that because of fear of what somebody might do. But the Lord tells us that we put our treasures in heaven where thieves do not break in. Thank God, no thievery in heaven. Thank God for no problems in heaven. And you leave a $100 bill out at Walmart today, see what takes place, see where it goes, see what happens. All your treasures in heaven are safe. Thank God we have a joy. And so our hearts ought to be focused on honoring the Lord, honoring those that serve the Lord. Our heart's focus ought to be sending things forward for the good things of God, and our finances and our blessings and our goods that God gives to us are not just for us, but it's for others and for help. And thank God for he keeps a good record. Our record is on high. And what we do, it's recorded, and there never be forgotten, never be changed. No blockouts of portions of the record. It's all there. Our record is on high. And so we find these things are David's heart. And the last part of verse number 5, he says, "He that doeth these things shall never be moved." Steadfastness. Steadfast in the Lord. Steadfast in the Word of God. And having a heart that would be willing to do what we need to do to have the blessings of God in our life. Dwelling in the house of the Lord. Heart, desire of David was to serve the Lord. I was reading on these verses and someone said, the Lord himself could have used Psalm 15 as a text for the Sermon on the Mount. And it gave some things. I copied it down. Psalm number 15 talks about the citizen of Zion. The Lord's Sermon on the Mount is the citizen of the kingdom of God. Same thing. In verse verse number 2 in Psalms, he talks about walking uprightly and working righteously. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, the verses are talking about walking in the light of God. In 17 through 20, the Lord gives righteousness to exceed in life. And then in Matthew 5, 21 through 6, 34, the Lord is teaching on truth in the heart and how that the heart can become hateful and having problems. And here these verses talk about a heart of truth. In verse number 3, backbiting. In this psalm, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, the Lord says, "Why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye?" And then he says, "Love your enemies. Do good to your enemies." Verse 4 talks about the vile person. Matthew 7:15, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches on and says, "Behold, of the beware of the false prophets, and ye shall know them by their fruits." And so there's a good comparison between Psalm 15 and the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. And just like there's a contrast in Psalm 14:15, there's a comparison and in those two, Old Testament and New Testament. So those things, I believe, were David's heart, and they should be our heart. They should be those things that we desire, that we have a testimony, that we speak truth, we work, and we serve the Lord, and we walk uprightly, and we work righteously. And if we will have that in our life, I believe the Lord will bless us with blessings whereby we can even lay up treasures in heaven and to follow the direction that the Lord gives to us. So I pray this will maybe be a blessing to you and a help, and pray God would draw these things to our attention as we serve Him, and may David's heart become our heart. And then it might be that the Lord would say, "That individual is after my heart," because we follow Him. Let's stand together tonight.